So for the Rolling Thunder, there was a robust police presence, as you know. There was an incident on Rideau Street that the police intervened on Friday evening. I think that was the only main event that happened. The objectives of the Rolling Thunder organizers were met. And also from a police standpoint, he thought were met also. If you have any questions regarding Rolling Thunder, please contact email Constable LeMay directly with any questions or concerns at lemays@ottawapolice.ca. So he also talked about the Freedom Convoy Community Consultation, and it's with the Strategic Partnerships and Engagement Unit. It's regarding the impact and concerns of the community. It was requested by Interim Chief Bell to better understand the lived experience in our neighborhood and businesses with regard to noise, access, parking, and moving forward. Should anybody wish to discuss it, please contact Constable LeMay. I know that the chief is very interested in to ensure that the community are engaged and understand that they're doing what they can to move forward. He also talked about the firearm that was discharged on the 5th of May in 100 block Clarence Street. That's between Sussex and Housie, I believe. That was approximately 4 a.m. One subject was sustained minor injuries and got themselves to a hospital. They are uncooperative with police and no suspect was observed, and so no threat to public safety. So it seems to be every month we're having something like this in the area. Next week is Police Week celebration. So at Jean Marin Park, that's 400 Clarence Street, on Thursday, 19th of May, is that next week? Yes. Between 4 and 7, there will be a celebration in the park. There'll be partner outreach, etc. And it's a way for the police to connect with their communities. So please go over, say hi to the police. NRTs will be there. Partners will have booths, etc. So it's a very nice event. So that's good. So I just wanted to give a safety committee report. This is so after Constable LeMay. Sylvie, would you like me to go into the safety report, or do you have other business?
We'll save that for later in the report, Sandra, because okay. I think that, and I also would like to add that I'm sure Monsieur Fleury, when he comes and when he joins us, will have something in Rolling Thunder. But in the meantime, anything on either Rolling Thunder or the police report that Sandra gave on behalf of Constable LeMay? Y a-t-il des questions pour Sandra?
Yes. Just a question. When you talked about Police Week and an event, Sandra, can you tell me where that will be held in Lower Town?
I only know about Thursday at Jean Marin Park. It's between 4 and 7 Jean Marin Park. That's the only location that I'm aware of. I don't know if there's a soccer match or if it's just, maybe Matt knows, Matt Boutel, but there are partner booths, okay, and, you know, just a meet and greet, etc. So.
Merci beaucoup, Sandra. That's very appreciated. And we'll come back to you under committees. I know we have a lot under safety and security. I'm going to, if there's no questions or comments on that, I'm going to continue.
I did have a comment, Sylvia.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Norman, I didn't see your hand up there. Your wall is very similar to yellow in my computer.
My real hand's not very yellow either, so you wouldn't recognize it. Sandra, this is an old beef, you've heard me make it before, but I don't understand the language of the police when they say that having somebody firing a gun on Clarence Street at any time of the night or day is no threat to public safety. It's a crazy expression that they continue to insist on using. I know what they mean. They mean that this is not a killer that could be seeking any of the other people that live here. It was a targeted event. But when you start firing a gun, it is dangerous to the public, and we should continue to make that message clear to the counselor when he gets here and others. Because when people read about it in the papers, they are scared about coming down here, and they should be scared because these guys with guns don't always shoot straight. They're not Lukey Luke. That's all.
Yeah, I totally get you, Norman, and I understand the language. And I think that Sebastian at one point in time realized it, but I'm not sure if the language comes from him or from higher up in the organization, or it's just to make us feel good about the situation. I can get back. I can relay that information to Sebastian.
That would be great. Thank you.
Yeah.
It was brought up at our community meeting. Thank you so much, Chandra.
Okay.
All right. We have next on our agenda a presentation from the NCC about the Byward Market Improvement Projects. And we have two guests joining us, Ariane Larocque and Carol Crossan. And so Ariane and Carol, I will give it over to you. Vous allez prendre la parole et je pense que vous avez une présentation et en plus, on a le temps pour prendre des questions ou des commentaires suite à la présentation. Alors, allez-y.
Parfait, merci beaucoup et merci à l'association de nous accueillir ce soir. So, thank you very much for being there and welcoming us to your meeting tonight. Comme Sylvie l'a mentionné, mon nom c'est Ariane Larocque, je suis gestionnaire par intérim à la CCN, la gestionnaire par intérim des consultations publiques à la CCN. So I am acting manager of public consultations at the NCC, and I'm here with my colleague, Carole Crossan, who is senior landscape architect at the NCC, and she is leading the design for the Sussex Courtyards Holistic Plan. Donc, notre présentation va mettre l'emphase sur le projet du plan global des cours Sussex. So our presentation will be focused on the holistic plan for the Sussex courtyards. We want to share information. We're at the very beginning of this process, and we have public consultations planned for the first week of June. Sylvie, comme tu l'as mentionné, on va prendre quelques questions après la présentation. And we hopefully can get to all the questions, but if not, I will add the contact information in the chat where you can direct questions following this meeting. Donc, Carole, maintenant à toi.
Parfait, merci Ariane. Good evening, everyone. I'm going to start by sharing my screen and hopefully everybody will be able to see that. Is everyone able to see that?
Not yet.
Okay. Oh, because Zoom's a little different from Teams. There we go. That should work.
Yes, it works. We see a beautiful patio with red umbrellas.
Perfect. All right. Thank you, everybody, for giving us a little bit of time tonight to do this presentation. We're very happy to be here. Tonight, I'll be presenting the Holistic Landscape Plan, or the first stages of it, for the Sussex Heritage Courtyards. I just make sure that I can... There we go. So this is a landscape architecture project exclusively, and I just want to mention that at the beginning. So just to let you know that we're not proposing any changes to the buildings themselves or the interior of the buildings. It's exclusively, the intervention is exclusively within the courtyards themselves. In the design process for landscape architecture in general, there's a very well-defined sequence, and each component of the process arises from the previous and leads to the following one. So we have building blocks, and that's what I want to present tonight to you, is to present a little bit our process as we go through the planning phases. And as Ariane mentioned, we're at the very beginning. So we'll talk about our planning framework, our project objectives, opportunities and challenges, then our analysis and design directions, and ending with a schematic plan and design guidelines. So the site itself, I think we're all quite familiar with. The courtyards are nestled in the heart of the Byward Market, in close proximity to Confederation Boulevard, Major Hills Park, Connaught Building, the US Embassy, Notre Dame Cathedral, and the National Art Gallery. There are five individual courtyards: Clarendon Court and Lane, York Court, Jeanne d'Arc Court, the Tin House Court, and the Beaux-Arts Court. So the holistic plan englobes all of these five courtyards. Oops, sorry about that. It jumped ahead. Oops. I added this slide in order to provide a scale reference. It's very important for us as we advance in the project to really have a clear understanding of the actual footprint of the courtyards. And so we took a standard size tennis court, which is 11 meters by 24 meters, and we dropped it in to each large space of each individual courtyard. And this really enables us and gives all of us a chance to understand the actual footprint that we're working within. So the first step in the process for us, the first building block, if you will, is referring to our corporate plans that are approved by our board of directors. And we refer to that corporate plan that's relevant to the project that we're working on. And in this case, the plan for Canada's capital, the capital core area sector plan, and our illumination plan are the three primary plans that we refer to that give us a high level framework for the courtyards and what our intention and objective should be. I also included the Byward Market Public Realm Plan because this is the vision that our municipal partners at the City of Ottawa has for the Byward Market as a whole. And so making sure that we're coordinated and that we coalesce with that plan is very important within our planning process. I also included a 2004 design study that was done by Dutoit Alsop Hillier, or as we refer to them, DTA, that was done in 2004. And even though it's been 18 years and some of the aspects of the plan are outdated, some of the items that are raised in the, or the issues that are raised in the plan are still in the study are still quite relevant. So we'll be referring to that throughout the presentation. So based on our discussions with internal stakeholders and those that are in direct contact with the tenants that inhabit the courtyard and who have businesses there, as well as our discussions with the city, our planning framework, and also references to the public consultations that were done for the Byward Market Plan, we begin by establishing clear objectives for the project. And in this case, we have three. And they're not in order of importance. They're all equally important. They're the three cornerstones for us for the project. So to showcase the six courtyards by providing a unique heritage and cultural experience to the public who visit and utilize these unique spaces. The renewed courtyards will remain a visually pleasing public attraction and will support the surrounding businesses and tenant requirements. Proposed interventions will aim to address safety issues stemming from uneven pavers, poor lighting, and other public safety issues. So proceeding with our project objectives, I'm just going to take a step to the side and just give a very brief overview of the history of the courtyards themselves and of this area. There's a lot of stories to be told from a heritage point of view of Lower Town and certainly of Byward Market. So this is really a very brief overview to understand the context. So originally, a Sussex Drive was a dirt path with basically uneven wooden planks for sidewalks and wooden buildings that faced Sussex Street and provided housing for the French and Irish workforces that built the canal and worked in the lumber industry. And slowly over time, these buildings became brick and stone. And in the 1960s, the NCC began the process of restoring some of these buildings. And in 1985, Sussex Drive was slowly transformed in what we know today as a major component of Confederation Boulevard. But the courtyards themselves in the 1800s were essentially service entrances and alleyways to these buildings that fronted on Sussex. And it wasn't until the early 1960s that the NCC slowly started to transform these spaces into what is today a vital part of the public realm. When we went through the DTOS study and we started to look at the different opportunities that they were presenting, we realized that some of them remain pretty well the same today. There's this element of surprise and discovery, because it is surprising to find those kind of unique spaces in the heart of a core downtown area, and also the strong heritage and the history and that's behind the spaces of the courtyards, but also Lower Town in general. And the mixed community that we find there, which is a really important part of the vibrancy of the courtyards, is the fact that we have mixed use and that we have people living there with businesses there and various services. And the high quality services that are being introduced to the courtyards as time goes on. But the site challenges remain the same as well that were sort of raised in the 2004 study. And one of the major issues that was raised at that point by DTA was the lack of connectivity between the courtyards themselves. How do you get from one courtyard to the next across the city streets? At the time when it was raised, finding a way to create a connectivity, there wasn't very much opportunity in 2004. But now with the Byward Market Plan, there are opportunities there. And so certainly that's a discussion that we're having with the city. And then there's the lack of public amenities and the lack of spatial definitions in some parts of the courtyard, big empty spaces, where it's unclear what that space is for. Is it private? Is it public? Is it semi-public? What should we be doing there? Where am I going? How do I orientate myself? And an overall lack of landscape cohesion. So a lot of different materials, a lot of disparity between the courtyards. All of this lends to a space that's very difficult to read. And of course, the end of the life cycle of a lot of the materials that are in the courtyard, and still some pockets where site safety could certainly be improved. So after looking at the opportunities, the site challenges, having clear objectives in mind about how we're going to move forward, we began with our analysis. And the analysis is quite in depth that we do. So again, it's going to be an overview of the most important points that we've looked at and that inform us and give us our framework. Understanding the visual connections in the courtyards, the open views, the closed views, partially closed views. These are very important to understand in order to be able to understand what we want to reinforce and what we want to improve. Also understanding circulation, vehicular circulation around the courtyards and what it takes for people to get from one courtyard to the next. And of course, the Byward Plan offers us new opportunities on that front, but also understanding the circulation within the courtyards. Where do we have our UA access points and ramps? Can they be improved? Do they need to be better integrated? So certainly looking at this. And most importantly, who's in the courtyard? So at the ground plane level, where do we have our food and beverage, our retail and commercial, our residential, our offices, institutional, having a really good understanding of the context. What buildings do we own? What buildings do we not own? And as we look to the upper floors, we see a different concentration of the residential buildings and where residents are living and where their service doors are, where their main entrance doors are. So we have an understanding of footprint and we begin to get to understand much more clearly the mixed use and other elements that we really want to reinforce. Our FIBRO recognized buildings, our heritage buildings, where are they and what kind of facade or front do we have on the inside of the courtyards? Are these buildings that we really want to showcase? Being able to recognize where they are. Understanding, of course, where all the doors are, not just for residences, but for restaurants and for businesses as well. Main doors and service doors, but also understanding glazing or windows. Some windows are active glazing, what we call active glazing, which basically means you want to attract attention to it, like a showcasing products or showcasing a cafe or a restaurant. And then there's other non-active glazing, an office or a residence where you don't want to attract attention to that window. And then we look at the lighting, the existing conditions. So what the majority of the lighting right now in the courtyards is a model of the NCC globe lights. And with our illumination plan right now, one of the objectives is to phase out the globe lights and keep them along the canal and along Confederation Boulevard, because they have become character defining elements. But where we find them in other places outside of those two sites, we're following suit with the city's initiative to find more sustainable and more effective lighting. These lights are very expensive and difficult to maintain. And we also have very little control over how they light and very few options. Looking at our existing vegetation, all the trees were planted at the same time. They're all the same age. And so they'll reach the end of their life cycle all at the same time. So planning for tree succession is important. And a refresh of the understory would be important as well. There's not a lot of vegetation in the courtyards, but what we have is very important to us. What are our key features? So far in the design process, there's no intention of removing any of the art pieces or putting them in another courtyard or on another site. It's really valuing them and making sure that the context really supports them, and also understanding where our stone arches, our stone walls, our architectural features are, and what we want to highlight. We have a wayfinding system that was initiated, I think it was built in 2006, and it was following the DTA study in 2004. We have no intention of removing it at this point in time, but more so giving it a refresh and incorporating it into the holistic plan. Understanding underground services, fire route, waste collection, waste storage, and so on, et cetera. And of course, circling back around to the Byward Market Public Realm Plan, how do we make those connections across the street? What type of methods do we want to use? The paved tabletop crossing is certainly a method that's used in many cities, and that would possibly be appropriate here. So we continue our discussions with the city on those points. The city's using traffic grade pavers. You see them now on William Street, sort of an example of the kind of pavers that they'll be using on the streets of the Byward Market as the plan becomes initiated and installed. We don't have to have the same pavers, but we do have to consider them and find a way to marry to that and find a coalescence with that. So that's certainly a consideration for us. So once we complete the analysis, we move into our design direction. So it's the next building block for us. And the first part of that is having a really clear vision, a high level vision of what the courtyards mean to us and what we want to achieve with them. So the Sussex courtyards are a sequence of intimate public spaces that provide a curated walk through time, showcasing Ottawa's layered history. They create memorable moments of bustling modern life amidst a richly detailed historic backdrop. Their unique and individual character are woven through a cohesive, high quality, and richly designed mixed-use public realm. So I think that the dominant elements in there for us are the importance of the heritage aspect, certainly, but also that it's a mixed use public space, and that finding the balance between what can sometimes be almost dualistic or in opposition is an opportunity to create something interesting. So as we move into our guiding principles, we want to promote design excellence in the courtyards. They're worthy of it, certainly. We want to have suitable designs, suitable for the use, durable designs, and pleasing designs to support the tenants that we have in the courtyards. But some of the courtyards, each courtyard is unique, yet we require some cohesiveness. Some are more hidden and some are more apparent. There's a reflection of the past. The future is also important, and contemporary vision of the courtyards is important. Some are more lively and some are more contemplative. So upon completion of the schematic design of the evaluation and having a clear vision and a clear principles to guide us forward, we start to take the space and break it down and understand how it functions. And we produce a schematic design. So the schematic design that we're presenting tonight, our proposal, are five main components. It's comprised of five main components: the spine, the threshold, the nodes, some of which are active and some of which are passive, the entry points and connection, and the residual spaces. So the spine itself is a continuous, unobstructed, and comfortable 3 meter wide thoroughfare that links all of the courtyards. And it's comprised of distinct unit pavers, and it guides the visitor through their discovery. The spine is intercepted by nodes or by rooms, but what we call nodes. And these spaces are public, they're comfortable, they offer site amenities, they're inviting, they're attractive. Some are active, some are more passive, but they offer flexibility in their purpose. And so they're also transformable depending on the time of day and adaptable to all four seasons. The threshold, or what we call the architectural threshold, is that several meters, and it varies depending on where you are in the courtyard, but it's the several meters between the base of the buildings and the courtyards themselves, and it's what anchors the buildings to the courtyard. So this threshold will enhance the historical architecture and will be comprised of noble and natural materials such as stone. We want to ensure consistent and coherent design language throughout the historical courtyards. Some parts of the threshold are active and some are semi-public. Well, where we have a patio, for instance, would be semi-public, while others are much more passive as they serve as a spatial definition for the entrances to residences or to offices. The entry points and connections will be continuous, inviting, safe, and universally accessible, of course. And this is what, this is the element that marries to the Byward Market Public Realm Plan with possibly unobstructed tabletop crossing and distinctive pavers. Each courtyard at its entry point at both ends, it will be bookended by lighting and public art. That's what will link the court, one of the elements that will link the courtyards together. And then finally, we have residual spaces. Residual sounds a bit negative. It is the space that's left over, but it's really important for spatial definition and to add to reinforce the human scale of the courtyards. And this could be done with planting, with 2D public art, and with 3D elements. I just want to mention that what we want to do in this project is provide the frame. The content, the interpretive content, exactly what piece of artwork, what kind of stories we tell in the courtyard, that is a process in and of itself and not within the scope of this project. So the design guidelines, which are developed at the same time as we do the schematic design, is to create a hierarchy of pavers to define spaces. So we use noble materials such as stone and historical craftsmanship for the building interface. So that's the threshold. But we use concrete, unit concrete pavers for the spine and the nodes. The planting is a repetition of plant materials to create a strong cohesive landscape and plant appropriate plants for the, plant the right plant in the right condition to ensure good performance, plan for tree succession, and consider four season enjoyment in the plant selection. The lighting, yes?
Est-ce qu'on peut passer à travers les lignes directrices un peu vite pour donner la chance pour des questions à la fin?
Oui, je vais faire mon possible parce que là, il y en reste pas beaucoup.
On commence à manquer, on a dépassé le temps, là, puis je ne voudrais pas manquer l'occasion de questions. Alors, si tu pourrais faire un wrap, ça serait bien apprécié. Merci.
OK. So the removal of the globe lighting is to introduce a contemporary multifunctional lighting, which allows us to have architectural, artistic, and functional lighting. It gives us choice in terms of being able to tell stories in the courtyards, but also respond to functional lighting. I'll skip over it. And we want to highlight key heritage and architectural features as well. We want to have the option to have artistic lighting and special effects reserved for the main spine and the public nodes. And to do this, we need multifunctional light standards, which need to be minimalist and used sparsely to avoid visual clutter in the courtyards. Use create clear wayfinding with all the techniques I've mentioned. Integrate custom node furniture into site structures to promote efficient use of space. And most importantly, promote social cohesion. So design to create a positive experience for all users. We want to create inclusivity and a sense of ownership in the courtyards. Preserve the spatial organization, the visual access, the UA features, and ensure maintenance requirements are respected. So we're at the very beginning of our design process, and we really appreciate your feedback in regard to the design guidelines and the schematic plan for the courtyard. Next steps are online public consultation from June 3rd to 17th. We're planning a walking tour. We're fleshing out the details of it for June 14th, June 16th as a backup date. And we will finalize the holistic plan fall winter 22-23. And the detailed design phase is planned for 2023. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you very much. Sorry for going over the time.
Merci, Carole. This actually gives me fabulous ideas for Dalhousie Street. this is one of our objectives, is just that the beautification of our beautiful community. So merci beaucoup, Carole et Ariane. On va prendre des questions, mais Carole, si tu peux arrêter de partager ton écran, je vais pouvoir voir les gens sur le mien. Merci beaucoup. C'est bien. Quick questions or reaction. You noticed the next steps that there will be public consultations, but I noticed one chat said, excellent presentation. I agree. It's exciting. It's beautiful. Breathtaking. Any comments or questions? You can put it in the chat or raise your hand. Ian Ferguson, I see your hand is raised.
Thank you for the presentation. I agree that there's many exciting ideas. The one little reservation I had was getting away with the, doing away with the lighting. I wasn't terribly impressed with the stick that you're talking about replacing it. I agree that, you know, indirect lighting, sconces, things like that can be an improvement, but I would have thought that, you know, using that kind of standard lighting is the same on Sussex Drive and even on more streets in the Byward Market would help reinforce the overall heritage conservation district character. We have so many different kinds of lighting now on the streets, and those ball lights were, you know, an element, a base kind of which we could have built upon. And I know the Rideau Street merchants really tried to have it introduced on Rideau Street, but they were not successful.
Ariane or Carole, a response to that?
The example that we used was to present an idea of going forward with something that was very épuré, that was very clean, and that was very light, and that was not dominant, and that was very flexible. So we won't necessarily use that model. The Byward Market, the City of Ottawa will be phasing out the globe lights there and going with a much more modern approach with the lights as well. It's really about sustainability and being able to use lights that perform multiple functions. The globe lights within the courtyards are something that was added on in the 70s. So it's not really seen as a heritage feature. It's more seen as something that was added on at a later date. What we really want to showcase in terms of the heritage is the buildings themselves and the intimate space itself. The globe lightings are very strong. They light immediately around them, but leave a lot of dark corners and a lot of shadow spots. And so we have string lighting that's been added and numerous things that have been added to create ambiance. But the options today for lighting are considerable and could offer us a lot more flexibility and ability to really showcase the courtyards and showcase the other heritage features.
We have a couple of hands raised and a few chat questions. So I'll go to Nancy Miller-Chenier for a next comment.
Hi there. Carole, thank you so much. That was really, really, really interesting. Lots to absorb. I'm with the Community Association Heritage Committee, and one of the things we're actively involved in is looking at the Byward Market Heritage Conservation District. And I'm assuming that in addition to talking to the people about the public realm plan, you have also talked to the heritage staff about the plans for various guidelines in the area. But more than that, you talked about having a curated walk through time in these courtyards. And as someone who does a lot of local history, I mean, I'm always looking for markers that tell the story of the building. So in addition to public art, are you also planning to have some interpretive panels with photographs which tell people the background to these courtyards?
Um, It's hard to explain. I tried to explain it very briefly at the beginning. We're really trying to create a framework, set the stage, but the content of the stories that are going to be told, whether they're historical or they're contemporary, that's going to be something that would be developed. So one of the things with the lighting, and I'm sorry I took so long, I wish I had had more time to go through the lighting aspect, but creative lighting today can often use different methods to tell the story of different time periods, because there are so many stories to tell. And so there's other ways to do it apart from plaques themselves, though that would be more associated to the buildings. But for the landscape and the space and the stories about Lower Town and the Heritage District in general, we wanted to have something that was more flexible and that allowed us to tell many different stories. So the importance of the lighting was certainly having the flexibility with more modern lighting would enable us to do that. And yes, we are consulting with the heritage groups as well going forward. I think it's we have a long list and they're definitely on the list. I hope that answers your question.
We'll go to Norman. We are a little short on time. So go ahead, Norman.
First of all, thank you. I'm delighted that the NCC is looking at this really amazing resource. I would like to see in the future materials, as you discuss this in the community, a little bit more emphasis on the kind of usage and activity that you see in the various courtyards. It's hard to design the right landscaping solutions until we know what kind of life we expect to see in these various areas. And I don't think it's the same in each one of the courtyards. So I look forward to working with you on that, and I hope you can expand on that a little bit when we meet again.
Thank you for your comment.
All right. Thank you, Norman. Mathieu Fleury?
Yes, Sylvie, and I'm sorry, Carole, I missed the beginning and most of the presentation. I wonder if it's possible maybe to regroup us. We're a small group here with the LCA, Ottawa Markets, the BIA, and even if it was just the chairs and the executive directors or so on, just to, so that you're not confused and we can discuss a little further what we're saying, because sometimes in conversation, it brings the full sum of the picture. Like, I think it's good that you're meeting with the LCA, getting open comments to the session, but I think from a stakeholder perspective, it would be very helpful for someone like me to get all of our, or the majority of our stakeholders in one room and or in one Zoom call and just go in more detail. Because I think what you're presenting seems very exciting, but I want to make sure that we're not missing. And, you know, almost like I know you're having conversations with the city, with Court Curry and Jill Savage and so on, and just would love for them to be in attendance as well to hear what our stakeholders are saying on the investments, which might also help us in some of the next investment cycles.
Thank you very much for that, Mathieu. We do have individual meetings planned with various stakeholders. So you mentioned some of them, the Byward Market, BIA, the LCA being one of them, and a few others. But that is a really great suggestion. And so we'll take that back and see what we can do. Thank you.
Great.
Merci, Mathieu. Merci, Ariane. Quickly, at 7:38 p.m. in the chat, Ariane posted for more information. There is a website there as well as an email and phone number. Question on lighting, dark sky regulation. So you did talk about the type of lighting, but there seems to be a little concern about light pollution. So just for you to take that back, if you have an answer for it, fine. If not, you can take it back. So there's that safety and security of enough lighting, the beauty kind of lighting, as well as the night, the pollution aspect as well. So that's obviously makes lighting quite complicated, but just wanted to make sure that you had captured that. And I noticed that you answered Robin in the email or in the chat. So that's great. Thank you. I'm just going to say, Carole and Ariane, merci beaucoup. C'était super intéressant, très important. Et we appreciate the opportunity that you gave LCA and all of our members here the opportunity to listen to you and to ask some questions. So thanks very much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
I'm going to go to our next agenda item. Nous allons maintenant demander à notre conseiller, Mathieu Fleury, de faire sa présentation régulière à nos réunions. Mathieu, à toi.
Merci et merci Sylvie. Good evening, everyone. Bonsoir à tous. I have a long list of updates, but I think they're meaningful and we should be able to get through them quickly. Tomorrow, we have a Built Heritage Subcommittee, which is a formal committee of the Planning Committee at the City, which will be reviewing the 126 York planning submission. There's a number of aspects to it, but there's a heritage aspects, particularly for the Majal building. I think overall from the public meeting and the comments we've received, it's a very positive project. And we're looking forward to the next round. And at this point, what's most important is not only the heritage protection, but also the integrity of the project that was submitted by the applicant. So this is only one of multiple approvals required for the site. The first one, again, is a heritage protection, which allows them to begin some of the restoration work. We recently had a number of conversations through the Transportation Master Plan. I want to thank Sylvie and a number of executives from your board who attended my session that I co-hosted with my neighboring colleague, Ralston King. The chat elements and the questions that were raised through the chat will be responded in writing, and we will share that with every participant at that TMP session, including our respective community associations. That said, one of the primary discussion points that I feel really needs proximity, specifically now that the federal government is really embarking in a number of interprovincial bridge studies, not only renewal, but expansion. So I'll be calling a meeting in early June. I believe the date is June 7th. So that as a number of communities, not just in my area, but also in Ralston's area, that we discuss a little more strategy on our approach to the NCC, on our approach to the provincial and federal government and the city government as it relates to truck routes. So just want to say two points, right? The TMP aspects, but also an upcoming meeting for your executives. We had a public meeting last week, so we are planning a local bike route that basically connects, if you're a cyclist, the plan is it connects Somerset East, which is a very desirable corridor, connecting the Odawe Bridge to Corktown Bridge. It's kind of the cycling rapid route. So we are looking for a connection route through the community, starting at Somerset, along Chapel, to Beausoleil, to York, which is really good for our connections in and out of the Byron market. So we have a bit of seed funding. The project is on Engage Ottawa. And I wonder, Bailey, if you're able to drop it in the chat. So if you have comments on it, the presentation is up if you've missed it. And we have some funding to look at two key intersections for improvements, particularly York and King Edward. If that's not a safe crossing, it won't be used. And then doing minor interventions as this is a very localized route through the residential neighborhoods. But there's a unique opportunities along Beausoleil and the York King Edward intersection, which is quite good. And we had really good feedback from the session 2 weeks ago. This is under a different sets of leadership at the LCA. We reviewed the parking permit zone west of King Edward, north of Gig, and it's been really well received. It's been implemented now for well over 2 years. There is a small zone where we keep getting requests for parking permits, and that is the first block east of King Edward. So King Edward, between King Edward and Nelson at York, Clarence, Murray, and even ties into the Wedge. There's some historic paid parking. There's a small paid parking zone within the Wedge, but it's not comprehensive. So we will be conducting a resident survey of those who live in those areas to see if it's warranted to have an expansion of the parking permit zone. The current process is quite complex and lengthy and does not allow for good results. It requires 70% of all municipal address on a street to vote in favor, And unfortunately, we have too low participation to see that move ahead, because there's a lot of high, a lot of multi-res and a lot of renters, which adds to some of the complexity. So in the next few days, you're going to see a community, a city, a letter from me and the city, just in terms of beginning a consultation for clarification of parking permit zone east of King Edward for the, those small streets in the wedge and the small street west of Nelson. And Sandra, I can follow up on that. I believe offhand, there's a small segment on Bruyere and St. Andrew, but it does not extend to Rose, or it doesn't go into the other segments. So we are getting concerns from some of the residents, and that's why we want to consult. Bringing to your attention, we're catching the STO in flagrant délit. The City of Ottawa, at the time of the opening of light rail, had signed an agreement with STO. And STO was to fully integrate their routes to Lion Station via Portage. What the routes that were going to go through downtown, connecting to the Rideau Centre and ending at Union for point in time, were going to be the Rappi bus routes. What, if you stand on King Edward, you'll see that STO now has a bus stop with about 20 numbers. That certainly does not meet the agreement, the sign agreement between OC Transpo and the STO. So I'm bringing that to your attention. I hope that you're aware, but I also want to hear specifically if you're seeing particular routes. Remember, this is not an anti-transit element. This is really to focus on where our investments are going to be. It was never meant to get transit and buses off of Wellington to then see the similar use on Albert and Slater, and particularly their use of King Edward currently. So just bringing that to your attention. And a nice segue to last week, we did receive a briefing from OC Transpo about amendments to an addition to a route in our community that would go, it's what they're proposing to be route number 10, that would loop along Dalhousie and Bruyere to connect to the Bruyere health services, and not amend the 9. So the 9 would continue as is along Sussex, and the 10 would offer a Bronson to Bruyere connection. Sylvie, Liz, and LCA, I wonder what you see as next steps. I did share with you the deck, and I would love to get public comments. I've reached out to residents of OCH. I've reached out to both the BIA and Ottawa Markets. I believe we've also reached out to CRCBV. So we're looking for feedback at this time. There's no timeline for implementation. OC Transpo is proposing this to us as a connection point to Bruyere Hospital. I'm not seeing red flags, but I would like feedback from Lower Town residents. And I would also look for your advice on how to engage for this proposed additional route. So Sylvia, I wonder if I'll leave that to you and you can loop back maybe.
Yes, I know that there was a previous study, Monsieur, where they were thinking of looping 9 up down Murray, up Parent, left on Bruyere, which did not go anywhere because it just didn't make sense at all for all the reasons that I won't even mention, but not wide enough and then safety and all of that. So basically that's off the table now, and it's just Dalhousie to Bruyere, à gauche of Bruyere, comme ça, devant l'hôpital, puis...
And then left on Sussex. Left on Sussex up Mackenzie Avenue. So I wonder if the LCA could help me and share it. Either I can share it on social media and ask for feedback from Lower Town residents, and you can share it, or you can share it and I'd be glad to take the feedback, whichever works best.
If you go ahead and share it, we will also share it and get some feedback. But Dalhousie has buses already. I don't, is there a concern with that, or, you know, we were concerned with the smaller streets being having buses, especially in the winter with the snowbanks and parking on sides and whatnot.
Yeah, I believe this is kind of an alternative. If you remember, the old nine used to use this route. And when Rideau reopened, they readjusted the lines. And when LRT reopened, they sort of adjusted the nine to Sussex, which in some way is good. But we've gotten complaints from elderly and frail residents and their visitors, particularly at Bruyere, and seniors who live at Ottawa Community Housing at Bélanger Manor, which is Bruyere and Cumberland, that going all the way to Sussex is a challenge. So that's the spirit of that. And you're right, Sylvia, it does take into feedback the previous set of comments we received from the community relating to the use of parents and ultimately how that was not fitting. So I'm glad to share it on social media and would love to get whatever feedback you hear from residents, if you wouldn't mind passing along.
Will do, thank you.
Want to give kudos to the LCA and particularly the effort in the public realm and the infractions that were constant, longstanding, and concerning at Back to Brooklyn on Clarence. I believe the LCA did write quite a piece in the quite an extensive piece in the last Echo, which was very helpful. And I can confirm that Building Code Services took that seriously and got a number of changes relating to what appeared to be more of a shack, or an extension of an indoor structure outdoors, which is certainly not the goal of the outdoor patios. I personally remain to have some concerns with the roof, the quasi-permanent roofline, and some of the materials and design that are chosen, but that's a bigger conversation we need to have with the city relating to patio standards in an area like the Byward Market, the use of wood, the use of structures. So, you know, this is a kind of a good example to force a much more serious conversation with the city. I think we're all in favor of a mature patio product that offers good lasting standards, such as black iron with lighting, with planters. I think there are a number of examples that are generally very well received in the market and should become the standard. And then my final update is we worked closely last term with the students at Carleton University in the School of Architecture. And where to start, I guess, in expanding our facilities. I guess it came from a number of sources, right? So Sandra and I and the community over the years, we've been working on how do we create better recreation spaces? How do we modernize the ones we have? Particularly at both Routier and Champagne Bath. Mathieu Boutel and the work that they've done at the Lower Town Resource Center with the Youth Action Plan sort of was another spark of a conversation, which I thought was very helpful. And what we were able to do was engage with students in School of Architecture to reimagine Champagne Bath as an expansion. What if we were to look at a standard gym side? What if we were to look at proper fitness facility? What if we were to look at a pool space? And before we go too far, all of their projects respected the existing building structure, but it did assume expropriation of the surface parking lot next door. So that was a very interesting project. I will be posting it on my website in later this month, and I'll share that with the LCA because I do think that when we have these blueprints, it's a much easier conversation to show the city saying, here's the need, here's the potential of these sites, here's how we can advance. And I guess I do have to turn a bit operational on you. The Champagne Bath is not reopened, this time not because of COVID restriction, but because of foundation damages. and repairs that are ongoing. I have commitment from city staff that as soon as the majority of the noise ceases, that they will open the fitness facility, but that they do not expect the pool to be open until midsummer. So I hope that you keep my feet to the fire on that opening. I know how important it is to have refreshing indoor water spaces. So please, please quote me on those, and please come back the appropriate time with requests for updates. Donc, Sylvie, la petite mise à jour finale que je vous donnerai, puis je suis désolé d'avoir pris du temps. Il y a eu une série d'articles de la part de CBC la semaine dernière qui a vraiment poursuivi la stigmatisation des propriétés et des logements communautaires à Ottawa. En tant que président du conseil, puis en tant que conseiller qui représente une des communautés avec le plus grand nombre de logements communautaires, je veux tout d'abord exprimer mon désarroi à ce genre de médium. Oui, logement communautaire peut s'améliorer. Non, l'analyse qui a été faite ne reflète en rien la réalité sur le terrain. Mathieu Boutel et d'autres partenaires pourraient vous en parler fortement. Là, on a des résidents qui sont impliqués, on a des résidents qui sont fiers. On a une organisation qui est de plus en plus équipée pour pouvoir répondre aux enjeux de réparation, particulièrement des réparations urgentes. Oui, on a des enjeux de sécurité à certains endroits. On les prend au sérieux, mais on est limité par la loi comme propriétaire. On nécessite des interventions des autorités policières et puis on nécessite aussi des interventions du tribunal Landlord Tenant Board qui prennent du temps. Donc, je ne veux pas minimiser en soi les histoires ou les exemples qui ont été donnés. Je vais vous donner deux exemples pour peut-être en signaler un. Il y a une des personnes qui a été interviewée qui se dit en enjeu de sécurité. C'est une jeune mère qui est une mère monoparentale d'un jeune adolescent qui est connu par les milieux criminels. Donc, on interviewe cette mère-là en disant bien, il y a des enjeux de sécurité dans la communauté. J'en conviens, mais on ne prend pas en compte l'environnement dans lequel elle et sa famille contribuent à ces enjeux-là. Un autre exemple, c'est on a une résidente qui habite depuis 23 ans chez Logement communautaire, puis les exemples que l'on donne sont des exemples d'une dizaine d'années. Je peux vous rassurer que les systèmes se sont beaucoup améliorés. Pensez à vos téléphones il y a 23 ans, là, on ne pouvait rien faire avec ça. Maintenant, on est tous connectés. Donc, les systèmes, les processus de suivi, les processus de plainte, le monitoring a beaucoup, beaucoup changé. Donc, I just wanted to do a full loop back because I do think it's unfortunate. It further stigmatizes the communities when articles like that. I encourage residents, OCH residents, if they have issues, to reach in. We do have a fraud and waste line. We do have kind of an external oversight process at the city where we do have a rental bylaw that has an external oversight through bylaw services. So again, the internal systems are in place. If there is a lack of oversight or if there's particular elements that weren't resolved, we encourage residents to follow the appropriate process and at times use the media. But I do find the story very unfortunate. And we've heard that directly from OCH tenants who said, wow, this really isn't fair on us. It isn't fair on the organization. And I did want for LCA to hear that firsthand because, you know, I do think it's important to have conversations on affordable housing. I do think it's important to have conversations on if there are system challenges, no questions. And if there are examples of our failings, absolutely, we can certainly improve. But I think we have to be careful of providing a number of examples that are not properly nuanced and explained.
Merci beaucoup, conseiller Fleury. On va maintenant inviter des questions ou commentaires. On va commencer avec une dans le chat. Any chance the city might regulate noisy motorbikes?
I assume this relates to motorcycles. So those are regulated. There is oversight through the Ottawa Police as a moving violation. And yes, it is a cat and mouse game, unfortunately. You have to catch in action and you have to have officers that are willing to enforce.
Donna Kearns, I see your hand is up. Go ahead.
Hi, Matthew. I wonder if you could give us an update on Bingham Park, on what's the scheduling is like there. And the second part is just a comment. We have new residents who live in the high-rise buildings facing Bingham Park, both of whom are blind. And one of the brothers, John, has registered a human rights complaint about Uber and their refusal to transport him with or without his dog, but the dog specifically. And they also, both he and his brother, have had really serious issues with scooters being left everywhere. So that part of my comment is just that anybody, any of us who are around here and see scooters, two blind people, one with a dog and one without. So they're both pretty vulnerable in this respect. And back to Bingham Park, that's all.
Yeah, a couple of elements that I'll try to do my best to respond. Bingham Park, so we are, the next step, Donna, is for the city to come back with kind of a what we heard, but it not less so in writing, more so in design features. So I'm expecting, and Bailey, correct me where I'm wrong, but I believe in June, we should have kind of a rough drawing to share with the community for consultation. And based on the feedback we get, if it's minor tweaks and stuff, we could see ourselves with a summer, late summer start. That's assuming that all the checks and balances are there in terms of community comfort with the plan proceeding. If not, then we will have to do a much deeper engagement on the design proposal. So we're just waiting now. They're doing all of the scans of soil testing on life cycle funding. So there's a bunch of things that the designers are advancing, and we're hoping to get a rough draft. I believe in June. Bailey, I don't know if you know. Yeah,
that's right, in June.
In June, yeah. In terms of the Uber pickups, I'd love for that neighbor to write to me, Donna. There is a PTC, what's called a private transportation company bylaw, which sets out the parameters for pickup. The actual company does not have that right. So that's a really very good complaint to get in to better understand why their systems are creating these blocks. So I would encourage, if you're able to, ensure that those residents do email us.
John has said that he has emailed you and the mayor, that he had no reply at all from the mayor's office. I didn't ask him specifically about you, but that his next step was to file a formal human rights complaint. So I asked him to make sure to send you that information. And unfortunately, he couldn't be here tonight, but he will be starting to participate, I think, a bit more.
Good. Well, Donna, just I would say this, and this goes to every resident. When people CC a bunch of folks, if I'm CC'd on an email, you're likely not getting a response.
Okay.
We get about 500 emails a day. So if it's a direct email to me, my team responds.
Okay.
But if it's a CC, it's a for information from our point of view. So it might just be that. And I encourage him, if he wants a follow-up, to just take his old email and say, hey, I'm waiting for a response on this, and send it directly to me. We'll get that actioned.
Okay. One thing too more, Matthew, I'm sorry. We have, the application is dropped for the 109-115 Dalhousie infill, and it is every bit as
controversial
and massive. It's 28 units, four stories in the backyard of two houses. And I'm sure we'll be speaking to you in more detail about this, but just for the general members who are here tonight to know that we have formed a group, and we do intend to respond to this as firmly as we can. The facadism and the historic aspects of it are really key, and it's bewildering how people can put in applications that completely ignore all the rules that are in place for our community. That's it. Thank you.
I agree. And I agree, it's problematic. And I'm sitting down internally just to get a sense of what the city's heritage and planning folks, and we will be calling a meeting shortly. Michelle was updating me on that this morning.
Thank you, Donna. Merci, Mathieu. Nancy, we'll have you as the last one, because we do want to keep going to cover our other agenda items. So last comment or question to our counselor.
Just a quick question. I see Bailey has posted the note about redo of the intersection at York and King Edward Avenue. And I realize I haven't been part of that transportation discussion, but I'm wondering why the St. Andrew King Edward intersection hasn't been part of the rethink on safety.
It has, and we've done in the past, I'm dating myself here, but when we had an active group along King Edward, we did look at a number of measures that ended up being implemented. For example, for St. Andrew to be much more rapid response outside of the peak hours when residents click on the PXO, we did implement red light cameras. So there's a number of elements that were added to King Edward. I believe this one here, Nancy, is a bit different. It's looking at a local cycling route connection from Lower Town to Sandy Hill via York Street, Beausoleil, and Chapel. Nothing stops us from looking at additional concerns at St. Andrew crossing of King Edward.
Thank you.
Merci beaucoup, Mathieu. As always, your reports are incredibly detailed and helpful. And Mathieu does respond to his emails when they are sent directly to him. So please don't be shy in doing that. So merci encore une fois. On va aller maintenant à Matt Bertel. Matt has something some information that he wants to share with us on the important work that the Lower Town Community Resource Center is doing. We know you have lots of supporters on the call today, Matt. So what's going on with you?
Well, yeah, I have a little presentation to share. And I note that I had 15 minutes on the agenda, but I will only try to take 10, realizing that we're already advanced. So for the first 15 seconds, I'm going to suggest à tout le monde qui veut s'étirer en spirit, everyone who wants to take just 10 seconds to stretch before I launch into my avalanche of information. I'm going to stretch. Crack my neck.
Mathieu missed it, but we had singing at the beginning of the of our meeting, and now we have aerobic activity.
There you go. I won't sing again, though, I promise. Okay, boom. Before I launch in, just to give a response to Mathieu. Mathieu, your email around the OC Transpo feedback has been duly noted and received, and I've sent it around to my team and had some preliminary discussions. Je vais te donner une réponse soit demain ou mercredi. Par rapport à ça. Mais ce sera assez simple. Okay, let me share my screen if I can. Let me see if I remember how to do it in Zoom because I'm out of practice. Here, go share screen. Okay. Oh, it says my screen sharing has been disabled.
I just made you a co-host. You should be good.
Perfect. Okay. Oops. And I've got a, how do we get rid of the bar that's up top? Here we go. I'll move down, slideshow from beginning. There we go. Does everybody see my screen and the presentation in full?
Oui.
Parfait. Okay, moi je vais y aller. Juste plusieurs mises à jour, je vais aller rapidement. Nous venons de finir notre période de clinique d'impôt. We've just finished our income tax clinic period. I'm sure as all of you have submitted your returns. And we just did over 300 households, which represents over $1 million and probably closer to $1.5 million back in the pockets of Lower Towners. Et quand je dis ça, ça veut dire des retours d'impôt, either returns, or being able to access, accéder à des prestations de façon différente, different income supplements that you are required to submit your income tax return for. So that's a service that we provide free of charge, as we do for all that we do, to residents of Lower Town. Mathieu referenced our youth action, the Lower Town Youth Action Plan. It's not ours, it's all of ours. It's yours, it's all of the organizations, it's the Youth Action Plan. As I mentioned to you back in March, it was launched on March 12th. And it has four key components or priorities in it and priority areas. We call it a youth action plan, but it's really a youth action strategy. It's c'est maintenant à nous de mettre en, en place des actions qui répondent aux stratégies qui sont nommées. Puis les quatre priorités, je répète, et tout est dans l'écho. Everything is in the Lower Town Echo, the last, the most recent version. The plan is there in full. So cultural diversity, youth-friendly places and spaces, community participation, and services and programs, all that respond to the many needs of youth in our community. The event on March 12th was fantastic. And we are intent on continuing things. So what are we doing to support the Youth Action Plan and not just have it become a document that gathers dust? So you'll note here the expectation is laid out. The expectation is on us as an agency. It's on you as the LCA. It's on you individually as community members. It's on other local agencies, be it OCH, be it the Boys and Girls Club and others, be it our city councilor, Mathieu Fleury, who contributed and supported the making of the plan, as did school boards as well, to identify, investigate, and do things that are concrete in response, not just the same old. What are you doing incrementally and additionally to what you're already doing to address elements of the plan? And so what are we doing at the LCRC, aside from some of the things you'll see in my next slides? We're supporting the continuation of the youth community that came together to help build the plan. So they will be continually meeting once a week with the support of some staff. And we have put in for some funding that will help us sustain that over the next few years. We're quite optimistic. And also the efforts of Lower Town, Our Home, the initiative of organizations and residents coming together to talk about and put forward actions in response to community safety, sense of belonging, that community will continue. It has refocused a little bit on youth now and tying the connections between residents and the youth. We have our youth drop-in, which we had before, but now we have it in a new youth space. Et ça, c'est un espace à l'école York. Donc, un fantastique espace avec cuisine. On a pu meubler l'espace avec des dons, aidons avec des meubles. For those of you who know the organization Helping with Furniture, who helped provide tables, chairs, proof chairs, all kinds of wonderful stuff for the youth to sit on and use. So that's twice a week, every Tuesday and every Thursday. It's in our plans to have that drop-in be expanded to be 5 nights a week, 6 days a week, and have expanded hours. But that's something that we'll have to work on over the next little while. The collaboration that we have done, that we've been working on for over a year, well over a year now, with BGCO, the Boys and Girls Club, with Presidential Basketball, and the Sandy Hill Community Health Center. We, over the last several months, have been in fits and starts trying to navigate the pandemic. We started out in the fall on Sundays only at the 40 Coburg gym, city-owned gym, and we were able to get about 25 to 35 youth come out on Sundays, and that was through the fall. Then when we hit Omicron, we had to put things on pause. We were able to bring things back. We bused kids from York Street School pickup. We picked other kids up in Sandy Hill at Strathcona Heights, and we bussed them over to MacArthur, to the Boys and Girls Club clubhouse on MacArthur. And we did that every Saturday for a whole host of activities, 8 Saturdays in a row. Fast forward to now, as of April, we are now operating Saturdays at York Street School for the younger youth, at De La Salle for the older ones. Monday evenings, Wednesday evenings, we're bringing back basketball and stronger, and we're adding in a leadership component and multi-sports, and the sky's the limit. So here is just a poster that we have for signups at York Street School. This is for the younger age range, so grade 4 to grade 8. We have other posters for the older kids at De La Salle. Our summer camp, notre camp d'été s'en vient. Chaque été, on l'offre. Et je répète, tout ce que l'on fait, c'est gratuit. Tout ce que l'on fait a une composante de saine alimentation offerte gratuitement. And between 80 and 100 youth will be taking part in the summer camp. And we have fantastic activities. You see the wonderful photo. Thank you to Sandra Milton for connecting us with the rowing club for a great activity last year and other things that we are able to bring to the youth at no cost. soccer. So we had a Lower Town resident, Mathieu Loyer, bring soccer to Jules Morin Park the last few summers. Well, with an exception, of course, one summer we had to skip 2 years ago. And now we are going to be taking over soccer at the Lower Town Community Resource Center. It was just too much for one resident to run, who has all kinds of stuff going on in his life. And so we're happily going to jump in. And again, look for registration coming soon. It's for youth age 4 to 10. And another activity that we're looking to build solidly that we can bring back to older age youth in future years and expand to other areas. Upcoming events. So this Saturday, the Lower Town Community Cleanup brought to the community by the Lower Town East Residents Committee. So thank you to Nancy Miller-Chenier. Thank you to Warren, who are on the call today, and the other members of the Lower Town East Residents Committee that we are supporting. So this is 2 to 4 p.m. this coming Saturday. Hopefully it's the shine that continues and not the rain that comes back. So please, if you would like to take part, please come on out on Saturday. Other events that are upcoming. You mentioned Police Week. We will be there, of course. We will have a little kiosk and tables and information set up in Jules Morin Park also. I can't speak to whether or not there will be any sports or soccer game going on, but of course we'll be there playing if it gets set up. Other things that are happening. Basse Ville en Fête, so Lower Town celebration is on June 4th. It's also, so it's a tradition we're able to bring back after a 2-year pandemic hiatus. More details to come. We're going to have lots of fun in the park at Jules Morin. I also want to talk about some of the great work that we've done and that we are just embarking upon with Kendra and Fiona and the LCA Arts and Culture Committee. One thing is a little project with the Ottawa Gallery of Art and tying into some work that they're doing in the Black Arts Collective and bringing in a youth from our community who has an interest in photography. The other thing that we're doing through the LCA Arts and Culture Committee is working with House of Paint, and they're painting the little cement shed in Jules Morin Park and working with youth from Lower Town. That's going to be something that happens in the course of the summer. What else? I want to highlight the food bank. On entend tous dans les nouvelles ce qui se passe. On le vit tous. L'augmentation du prix de tout. And our food bank has gone through the ringer through the pandemic in terms of how what the demand is, how we've adapted to offer service, how our community house has become essentially a food bank. A community house is supposed to be far more than that, but the food bank is just becoming so dominant in what we have to eat, its basic needs. And if you look at the usage of our food bank from 2017 to 2021, you see we had 8,876 visits to our food bank in 2017, and we're up to well over 13,000 now in 2021. And I don't foresee that going down or stopping. It's going to keep going up. And we're in a very restrictive space. So we're working hard on this. I think the Ottawa Food Bank has been a fantastic partner throughout all of this. And the pandemic certainly enabled them to get access resources. We all don't know if that's going to be able to continue. And we're feeling it already in on a weekly basis. We have to purchase supplements every week now. 2 weeks ago, we had an especially bad week where we have to go out and buy more milk. We have to buy more bread. We have to buy more meat. And we take this from our emergency funds, essentially donations. So what we're rolling out, as of June 1st, we're in a collection phase right now, is un encan silencieux. It's a silent auction. And this is thanks to a great idea from John Chenier, who I know the LCA did its silent auction prior to the holidays. And so we're going to try it. And we're going to try it. Our food bank needs it. So my ask for all of you right now is if you have any items to donate, or if you can refer us to a business or anybody else who might be able to donate anything to our silent auction fundraiser between now and June 1st, we are collecting. As of June 1st, we will launch for a period of almost 3 weeks the silent auction, so please bid. But if you are able to help us out, it would be greatly appreciated, either in providing or tying us to items to sell, or in bidding on the fantastic items that we will no doubt get. I'm going to stop there, other than say that our AGM, notre Assemblée annuelle générale, aura lieu le 21 juin. Et ce sera à la nouvelle scène. Donc là où on a fait le lancement du plan d'action jeunesse, on va retourner là. It'll be an in-person event, but we will offer a hybrid option for those who don't feel comfortable yet coming out at the nouvelle scène. Hope to see you all there. Merci énormément à vous tous. Merci énormément au LCA. Thank you very much for all the help that you give us in so many different ways, and just a pleasure to connect with you always. Merci.
Merci beaucoup, Matt, if you can...
Oui, je vais fermer ça.
Merci beaucoup. We are running a little late, but are there any comments or questions to Matt Boutel? I'm just looking at the chat here. Merci, merci, impressive. We are running a little later than normal this month. Actually, we've been normally on track, but we had some very, very good, excellent presentations that I think are important. So. Appreciate it. Monsieur, it's impressive what you and your team are doing at CRCBB. Alors, bravo à toi, puis lâche pas. C'est vraiment du travail important. Speaking of AGMs, ours is June 13th at 7 p.m. We are going actually virtual again. We're going to continue virtual, and our main reason for doing that is our lack of, we've got a few people who are actually going to be out of the country in the next month. And we have some lack of resources in actually setting up an in-person meeting. So we thought having the AGM virtually would allow us to have more people. And also we just don't have the capacity with our small volunteer team right now to put it on in person. So I'm being very honest with you on that. Désolé de ne pas pouvoir se voir. Peut-être qu'on va se voir à d'autres activités, mais on va faire notre assemblée annuelle le 13 juin à 19 heures. Good news, we have two new executive members who will be putting their names forward, Dominic Santos for our Transportation Committee and Bruce Kelly for Housing and Homelessness. They have joined us already. And so we are overjoyed with having a larger group of volunteers. Thank you, Dominic. Thank you, Bruce. You will have the slate of people who are running again. Those committee chairs that you will be hearing from in just a few seconds, most I believe will be running again. And so we will, I believe, have two openings. One is communications chair. Anyone interested in working with us, with our great group on communications? Et la deuxième chose, c'est le poste de secrétaire. C'est la personne qui convoque nos réunions et qui s'occupe un peu de la gestion. 8 heures par mois à peu près. So if you know anybody who'd like to join us on our executive as secretary, that will be open as well at the AGM. I'll go now, and I apologize once again for keeping everyone, but we'll do a quick run through our committee reports. Warren Waters, our planning chair. I'll start with you, Warren, only because you've put, as of 8:10 PM on the chat, you put in a number of information items and links, and I'm presuming people have seen those, but over to you, Warren, just to give a quick overview of what you've posted there.
Yeah, the reason that I put it in is that Matthew and I think it was Karen already talked about three of the issues that I was going to, so I didn't want to repeat myself. Repeat what they'd already said, so I put it in the chat. So there's more information about the Chapel cycling route consultation and about the 126 York, the Major building heritage permit, and also about the 109, 115 Dalhousie that Donna Kearns mentioned. So the information is there, and the dates when comments are due and so forth. The one that didn't get put in was a project on the corner of York Street and Nelson Street. That was a proposal that was put forward, I think it was a year ago. The LCA put in comments, and the developer's consultant has sent back a revised submission in response. Basically, the LCA's objections were that it was aiming mostly at short-term rentals rather than long-term residents. We noted there were problems with the garbage storage and landscaping and the exterior finishes. Well, naturally, they dealt with those external issues. The garbage and recycling containers have been moved indoors. They've changed the facades on the buildings, and they've added three additional trees to the landscaping. We continue to be concerned about the rooming house because it's going to be very crowded, but that's not something that they didn't change their design on that. Those are the issues that have come up. Those four issues are the ones that have come up in the planning file for the last month, and see you next month.
Any questions or comments? Warren, always very busy on the planning file and always on top of it. Thank you so much. If not, I'll move to Sandra Milton. Sandra, you spoke already about Rolling Thunder, but I know you had other things under safety and security.
I do. Thank you, everybody. So as we know, spring is here, and it's an important reminder to report all incidents that you see. So only by reporting can attention be brought to our area. So number one, lock your cars, your vehicles, your houses at night. Vehicles and doors are often checked during the night when we're sleeping. So if you forget and somebody breaks in, do report all issues to the police, however large or small. In parks, report issues in the park. Call 911 if you have to. 911 is an emergency call or a disruption or damage to something. Or if not, city is Ottawa 311. If someone just acting strange, or you see something suspicious or threatening behavior, or you may be concerned due to drugs, damaging properties, mental health, overdose. If you see something, say something. Number two is encampments. So there's encampments have started in the parks. So outreach and 311 service is available. The City of Ottawa staff are the first point of contact for any complaint regarding homeless encampments, people sleeping rough, and sheltered individuals. If you encounter this, call 311. They will connect with the Salvation Army outreach van or other outreach van, and then they will follow up with outreach services. If outreach needs additional assistance, they'll contact the police or other appropriate service directly. Housing services are notified. People they try to help people to get them housed. And there is a new community outreach team. They're working with all partners and assist with unsheltered and the community. Note that the outreach is a limited resources, so may constitute a timely response, a delay in timely response. So please, please, please call. It's very important that we keep calling and keep our community safe. Last month, Ian Patterson noted on the underpass by the Reader Center and the Conference Center that there were people doing drugs, alcohol, toileting, etc. in that area. It's a complex area, it belongs to NCC, City, and also the Rideau BIA are going to be doing some programming. So we're looking into that area as well. So we are busy, we're working on things, and there are other areas of Lower Town that we have issues with as well. So please don't hesitate to write if you see anything or need our help. We're here for you. Thank you.
Merci, Sandra. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, I will go to our Heritage Committee, Nancy Miller-Chenier and Andrew Waldron.
I was kind of hoping Andrew would take the lead tonight, but...
I can take the lead.
Okay, go, Andrew.
At least on my files, so...
Okay.
One, we haven't heard... we haven't received any communication from the city staff in the last month on the HCD plans, but we do have the two working groups set up. So I'll be reaching out to them. And I do send down a community working group email list, an email group that I have for updates, adding updates, and other you know files that relate to the HCD. And we're hoping to have a few tours in the summer. I think Nancy and I are still discussing that, getting some tours going. And then thirdly is the ABC, which is the Alexander Bridge Coalition, which has a significant impact on Lower Town, which is the demolition remains an issue by the PSPC and NCC, and the environmental impacts will be, the sustainable impacts will be major on the impacts on how it relates to traffic in the center of downtown Ottawa. So we do have Curtis Wolf, who's going to those meetings. And so those are the three items I had. I think over to you, Nancy, I think.
Thanks, Andrew. And yes, on the Heritage Conservation District work, you heard about 126 York tonight. You heard about Dalhousie. Keep your eyes and ears open. If you want to live in a Heritage Conservation District, you have to participate and look at these files and decide what kinds of features you really want in your community. On the east side of King Edward, we are now working with the city on a conservation plan for the only heritage park in the city, McDonald Gardens. And we're hoping that'll proceed over the summer. The other thing, the positive thing that Matthew Fleury didn't mention is that the Champagne Bath is going to be 100 years, celebrating 100 years this year. So be prepared for a community celebration. And hopefully around the same time, we'll be celebrating the designation of York Street Public School. So that's it. But yes, stay tuned for some walkabouts to talk about what great heritage we have.
Thank you very much, Nancy. And Andrew, no comments or questions. Sandra, I forgot to ask you about Friends of Lower Town Parks. That's your other committee, you busy woman.
Yes, thank you. I just want to remind everybody, it's springtime, it's time for clean up the Capitol. So Raphael Brunet Park had their cleanup on 29th and 30th of April. They had 15 to 20 bags of garbage and leaves. We had to request that the city come to clean up the rest of the park due to loose asphalt that was covering half of the grass. I went by today and actually the city was there cleaning up. It was just full of asphalt and there was no way any grass would grow. So it's a little bit better cleaned up. I didn't see it afterwards, but it was really good. This Saturday, Bordelot King Edward Rose Park is a cleanup Saturday, the 14th of May from 10 to 11:30. Our Councillor Fleury will be in attendance, whether he knows it or not. And the organizers are Nancy and myself. So please come out. It's a great way to meet your community, get together, and just have some pride in ownership of this. On Saturday afternoon, it's McDonough Gardens, I believe. They have a 2 o'clock cleanup of their park. So Alona, Peter, and Chris are responsible for that. I guess Jose Moran is going to be this Saturday as well. Cathcart Square cleanup is the 15th of May, 1 to 3 p.m. So please mark these dates down. It's really important you come out and help to support. Bingham Park, I don't know, Donna and Sarah, do you have a date?
Sandra, could you drop them in the chat? Because there's a few we were looking for clarity on, Jean Mohay and
okay, Donna. Yeah. I'll do that. And so I'm not sure when Bingham Park cleanup is going to be. And Cumberland Park, it's ongoing. Maggie cleans up every day. So so she's there and her husband. So again, the volunteers of the parks, we're going to work with the city on the gypsy moth infestation. So last year, we worked tirelessly on that. And one other thing is the Routier Community Center. Mathieu, I know you touched on it, but is it confirmed that it will open in September? Mathieu, the Routier, when will it reopen to us?
Routier, Bailey, you would have a better better indication. We have submitted a motion, Sandra, just to get clarity on the transition point, and so far I've not gotten clarity, but Bailey might know more than I do on that front.
I do know that there were still two people self-isolating last week. So only two people, and you know, they obviously have staff in there and they have security. I didn't see the security today.
Bailey, go ahead.
Thanks, Sylvie. Similar to what Matt said, we don't have a specific out date, but the motion that Mathieu brought to the Community and Protective Services Committee directed staff to have an out plan to be out by the fall and to work with Parks and Recreation for the programming of that space once it does return to the community. So we don't have a specific confirmation that on September 1st it'll be back, but staff have been directed to be ready to be out by the fall, but there's not a specific date yet.
Thanks, Bailey. I believe that the community would be very interested to be involved with the programming and get this place up and running. We really need it, that space. So thank you.
I think Sandra, just maybe waiting a few more days, but if next week at some point you send me an email requesting that exactly, I think that would be helpful to engage recreation staff for programming and development of the programming as the space reopens. I think it is important for us to retake and rebuild the programming there quickly so that it becomes it rekindles our use rather than being a vacant in the condition we're heading in with all of the inflation and the city would be looking for cuts. We don't want to risk the facility in the short term.
Okay, thanks, Mathieu.
Thanks, Sandra. A few people put some cleanup times in the chat. Not sure, Sandra, if you can do a quick chat update on the cleanups while we're just finalizing here. So you saw some reminders in the chat about our AGM, about Lower Town Community Resource Center AGM. Je vais prendre encore un autre instant pendant que Sandra met des dates dans le chat de vous remercier pour votre participation. Désolée encore une fois d'être allée un petit peu plus long, mais on a eu des présentations extrêmement importante et intéressante ce soir. I was really impressed with all of the presentations from some of our partners this evening and feel very positive about what's going on in our community, some of the great things. And I have some auction items for you, Matt. I've got some Olympic stuff. So Sandra, you've got Bordelot there. Is there anything else? Okay, perfect. Donna says that Bingham is clean. Perfect. And any other, Sandra, before we say goodnight? If not, then people can just text us and or email us. info@lowertowntradesunionbasseville.ca. How's that for a bilingual email? Okay, we'll see everyone June 13th at the AGM. Enjoy the spectacular week we are having with beautiful weather. Go to all those patios and support our businesses in our community and do some gardening in your front and backyards and amusez-vous avec vos enfants dehors, en vélo, en marchant, n'importe où. On est chanceux de vivre dans une si belle communauté. Merci once again to all of you, and we'll see you in a month. Bye-bye.
Good night, all.